Current state on 90.5 WKAR. Stopping new invasive species from taking hold in the basin has become a top priority for Michigan and other Great Lakes states. At the top of their hit list, Asian carp. The non-native fish have already infiltrated the Mississippi River system, crowding out native species and creating a nuisance for boaters. Experts worry that an infestation in the Great Lakes could be devastating to the fishing and tourism industries in the basin. That worry intensified last week when the Michigan Department of Natural Resources found silver carp DNA in the Kalamazoo River. We talked to Tammy Newcomb, water policy advisor for the DNR, to find out where this DNA could have come from and what it means for the fight against Asian carp in the Great Lakes.
There are a couple different ways that the DNA could have gotten into the Kalamazoo River. I mean, one of those, of course, is an actual live fish. The second way is through some other vector like a boat or bird. So we know for a fact that DNA can persist in bird guts for a couple of days. And then, of course, as they drop their feces in different areas of the river, it could be picked up by the sampling protocol. But the other thing is that people who take their boats into the Illinois water and come back to Michigan to fish, if they've encountered silver or bighead carp, which you usually do if you're in the Illinois River, Lower Illinois or Mississippi River, it's kind of a bloody mess because the fish are banging into the boats. And so if there's any water residual in those boats and then folks come here to fish or recreate on our waters, they could be bringing the genetic material with them.
Could we say it's likely that it wasn't from a live fish?
Well, I'm not in the business of supposing one way or another today. I'm going to say as an agency, we take this very seriously. This is like the smoke detector. This is a warning signal for us. And so we're treating it as if it could be a live fish. And we've gone back out with the Fish and Wildlife Service to resample. We've taken 200 more samples of water in the Kalamazoo River in some very specific areas. We've got folks out on the water this week talking to the salmon and steelhead fishermen who are out there on the water this week fishing to make them aware of potential. And we've talked with the bait shops as well in the area to try and get the eyes and ears out there ready to report to us if they see anything unique.
Well, how then should we feel about this discovery? Is this the time to start freaking out or not?
No, we're not going to freak out because Michigan is prepared. We've had the opportunity over the last 2 years through some Great Lakes Restoration Initiative funding to do two different exercises, one on the St. Joe River, and then just 3 weeks ago in Lake Erie with our partners, Ohio, to go out and do an exercise, a planned response exercise to capture fish in the event we would need to do that.
A lot of people know that Asian carp are considered a threat, but can you remind us what sort of impact they have on the environments they invade?
Well, the environments that they're invading, they're pushing out the native species. I know where they've moved into Kentucky right now in some of those reservoirs. The fisheries chief in Kentucky is exceedingly concerned over their reservoir fisheries because the carp have just pushed them out. They've moved all the way up into South Dakota, and in Minnesota right now, they're looking at closing the lock in downtown Minneapolis to prevent the fish from moving any further upstream and invading their inland lakes. So they outcompete the other species. They're not a good fish to fish for because they don't eat the way that you would take a bait, so they wouldn't provide any kind of recreation. And the other issue is that they grow so fast. They're very prolific in their reproduction, and they grow so fast that the idea of a natural predator to keep their numbers down really isn't a feasible proposition.
Tammy Newcomb is a water policy advisor at the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. She is our guest today. We're talking about Asian carp and last week's discovery of silver carp DNA in the Kalamazoo River. How accurate is the DNA testing when it comes to predicting or detecting an invasion?
In terms of detecting an invasion, it's not very good at that. We need multiple lines of evidence to detect an invasion, but the testing approaches that the Fish and Wildlife Service is using for the DNA procedure has gotten more sensitive. So what we can definitely say is that sample picked up some sort of genetic material in the water. And again, how it got there, because it's so sensitive, it could have gotten there in a couple different ways, including a live fish. So we use it as part of a monitoring and surveillance. And before we would pull the button and say, oh, we have an invasion or fish in the system, we're going to want to see a live fish.
How rapidly could we move from a few fish in the Great Lakes Basin to the kind of overwhelming invasion that other places have faced?
It all depends on the fish and which way they go when they get into the water and how, at what age that they get there. So if we're talking about an invasion that swims through the Chicago area waterway as adult fish, let's say, one or two of them find one another in the same river, they could start reproducing very quickly. And we would see evidence of that within a few years. If it's young fish that come into the system, say through bait bucket introduction, it could be a few years before we would ever notice.
What is the role of the DNR in preventing an infestation of Asian carp?
We're active on several different fronts. We're active with Office of the Great Lakes and DEQ on several bodies that are working in Chicago regularly to address the Chicago area waterway vector in terms of a barrier or some other feature in the Chicago area waterway. We are working with the Fish and Wildlife Service with early detection and monitoring. And then we are prepared. We're doing the exercise, the planning and response. And then the last thing is that we're prepared regionally. The Council of Great Lakes Governors this spring signed a mutual aid agreement that says all eight Great Lakes states and the provinces of Quebec and Ontario will work together to address an invasion if we have one.
And what kind of response would the presence of a live fish kick off?
Presence of a live fish, again, it depends on the fish and what the fish could tell us. If it's a large fish, we could go out and look for more fish. We could heighten monitoring and surveillance as we've done in the Kalamazoo River this week, as opposed to the finding of a bunch of juveniles or young big head or silver carp might produce a different result in terms of some very active trapping or netting. And then at the far end of the scale would be what we call a rote known procedure where we would kill out a certain portion of the river to get at those fish.
Michigan was one of five states that actually sued the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to try and force them to close the connection between the Chicago Shipping and Sanitary Canal and Lake Michigan. That's a project that the Corps estimates will cost in the billions of dollars and take decades to complete. What do you think the likelihood of a project like that has of getting done?
So I am extremely optimistic that somehow we will find a long-term solution. We've made significant progress towards looking at a short-term solution to protecting the Great Lakes at the Brandon Road Lock and Dam in the Chicago area waterway. So essentially putting in some redundancy measures below the electric barriers. So that gives us sort of a duplication of efforts in a very confined portion of the waterway that would significantly reduce the threat of those carp moving into the Great Lakes. Right now, there's currently a Chicago Area Waterway Advisory Committee put together that's very actively working hard to address and look at the different issues and the different options for some sort of hydrologic separation potential in the Chicago Area Waterway.
But officially, Illinois doesn't appear to be interested in closing off the locks at Chicago, even though other states seem to think that's really an important part of the fight here.
I don't want to put words in Chicago or Illinois' mouth. I think that they're at the table very much looking for a solution to this issue. They were handed the problem. They don't want to see the lakes invaded any more than any of the other states. So and the efforts that they're putting forward right now with their Department of Natural Resources staff are so admirable in terms of fishing down the population front and the monitoring and detection and working with commercial fishers to try and keep those fish from moving forward.
I'm curious how much any one state can do when it comes to preventing Asian carp. And does this absolutely require a coordinated effort?
This absolutely requires a coordinated effort in terms of commitment from the Great Lakes region and saying this is an important issue and we're going to seriously address prevention rather than having to respond to an invasion. As we've watched these fish just march up the Mississippi River and throughout all the tributaries that drain into the river, it's such a stark lesson in how fast these fish can move and colonize and what can be lost in a very short time frame. So we need that regional commitment amongst all the states and then resources together to respond in the event of a spread or invasion.
Tammy Newcomb is a water policy advisor at the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. We're talking about Asian carp and, again, last week's discovery of silver carp DNA in the Kalamazoo River. Will this, though, require federal intervention to effectively address?
I would say the federal agencies that are currently there right now, Army Corps of Engineers is in charge of the waterways and the lock projects. The Chicago Metropolitan District Water District is also there trying to help find a solution in the Chicago area waterway. And the federal agencies in terms of the Fish and Wildlife Service are doing that monitoring and that assistance on the ground and helping with early detect and eradication. I don't know that federal intervention is what we're looking at, but we're looking at a combination of regional commitment and desire to addressing the issue combined with the federal agency's ability to then take action.
What are the next steps for the DNR on this issue? And when will we know whether or not finding the DNA means, in the Kalamazoo that is, means anything really substantive?
So our next steps, we launched right away within a couple of days working with the service. The Fish and Wildlife Service went out and collected 200 more samples to try and pinpoint if we do have a persistent signal, is what I'll call it, from that one. A one sample, maybe, but if you have a persistent signal, then you might have a greater likelihood that you've got something there, that you may have a live fish there. So those 200 samples, we'll have the results back from those at the end of October. We've had staff on the water this week talking to people, making them aware of the potential so that they can do online reporting. And then we're just individually, people can help us with this. Watch your bait buckets. Clean, drain, dry your boat so that you're not transferring invasive species, which could be small fish, and even the genetic material. If you're not transferring that, that helps us out a lot. So clean, drain, dry those boats, and just be aware. Report anything that looks funny.
We've been talking with Tammy Newcomb, Water Policy Advisor for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, about Asian carp DNA found in the Kalamazoo River. Thanks for joining us, Tammy.
Thank you so much.
And this segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday.